I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 17a, intro to Mystery Babylon. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. Revelation 17, verse 5. We're going to start this out by reading a definition of Mystery Babylon that can be found by simply studying all the things in connection with her throughout Revelation 17, 18, 19, and even back in Jeremiah and other chapters of the Word of God. But this is what we came up with here. Mystery Babylon is a corrupt religious and economic system flowing forth from one city under the direction of one family, whose aim is to deceive the world. And some common interpretations that you'll find today is that Mystery Babylon is Rome, the city of Rome, or the Roman Catholic Church, or that it is Jerusalem, or that it is New York City, or that it is ancient Babylon rebuilt in the last days. And the two that we're going to kind of focus in on during this series on Mystery Babylon will be either New York City or ancient Babylon rebuilt. Because from the evidence I've found thus far, these two seem to be the most biblically supported. So let's look at this. So here's ancient Babylon. Saddam Hussein had attempted to rebuild it and rebuilt certain portions of it at least. Doesn't look like much today. So if it was to be rebuilt there, it would definitely look like something completely different than this, I would imagine. And here's a picture of New York City. You know, you look at this city and this is a magnificent looking city. You know, one that would seem to have a better fulfillment than Babylon of old. But we'll look at both. We'll look at both. And we might even take a look at some of the other theories on this as well. But what I want to do is I want to present a bunch of facts during this series so that you can make up your own mind of what Mystery Babylon is. I don't want to just pick one point and try to hammer that down. I want you to keep an open mind on this, and I want you to see a bunch of different facts, and maybe it'll make you hungry to want to do some more research on your own so that you're prepared to handle Mystery Babylon. And we got the Statue of Liberty up here. Some believe, and I'm not saying I agree with this, we will probably look into this as well, and I'm not saying I don't agree with it. But some say that that this symbol here, the Statue of Liberty, is actually a variation of the goddess Ishtar, or Astarte, presented to us in this form. That's something we'll look into possibly. And you'll see picture here of the scenic, I don't know what you call this, the scenic city view. I think there's a name for it, but anyway, skyline. That's what I was looking for. In the skyline here, you see the replacement of the Twin Towers is one single tower, and it's called the One World Tower or One World Trade Center. Something like that. I can't remember exactly what it's called. We'll have to look into that. But the idea is that we're one world. And the dimensions of this, I think it's all the way up to the top of the needle, if I remember right, was 1,776 feet. Now, that's a good number for America because it was America's independence was declared in 1776. But the enemy also formed an organization called the Illuminati in 1776. So we might have to sift through that and kind of see if that's its intention. See whether the intention is good or whether it's evil. Some facts about New York City, which support the case for it being Babylon, or Mystery Babylon of the End Times. It's the financial headquarters of the world. It contains Wall Street. It contains headquarters for many major corporations. I mean, this is where the business of the world gets done. If New York was to fall, if Wall Street was to fall tomorrow, the entire world would collapse with it. It is the home of the United Nations. And it is the home of the One World Trade Center. Okay, I think that's the actual name of the tower. And many other things. I believe it's also the headquarters of many occult organizations, such as various New Age movements. Here's a look at the United Nations building in New York City. Here's the outside of the building here, the tower. And here's the inside where they meet, where all these different world leaders meet, the kings of the earth in session here. In kind of an oddly shaped building. It almost looks like the inside of a spaceship or something, if you look at it closely. But anyhow, there's also, in support of it possibly being Babylon rebuilt, there's also a curious prophecy in the book of Zechariah, which suggests that it could happen at some time where the world headquarters of the monetary system, of the United Nations and so forth, could possibly move from New York City back to ancient Babylon, where it all began. And let me read that here. Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9. Then lifted up mine eyes, and I looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Now, an ephah was a measure for commerce. So this is about commerce here, commerce and trade. Verse 10, then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they going with this? Where are they taking this symbol of trade? Verse 11, and he said unto me to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now the land of Shinar is the land of Babylon, where Iraq is today, where that river Euphrates is today, that is mentioned so often. It is mentioned in the book of Revelation in a very prominent way. So we must consider that. Mystery Babylon. We're going to talk about Mystery Babylon's methods of control. She uses sorcery or sophisticated forms of mind control. She uses seduction, which is to tempt mankind by lust and sense gratification. In other words, to play off the base instincts and desires of man, fleshly desires. Not spiritual, but fleshly. So while she uses sorcery and mind control, here we go. Here's a verse to document that. And again, I'm just throwing these verses up quickly. When we get into this series and we start breaking it down, we'll will elaborate on some of these things. 18 verse 23. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, in Mystery Babylon. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries, or witchcraft, were all nations deceived. So she's casting some kind of a spell upon the minds of the world. How does she do that? Well, we need to figure that out. All right, moving on. Seduction. Revelation 17, verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So in other words, there's something about this woman that the kings of the earth are lusting after. She's offering them some sort of pleasure, something in return. That they're so willing to commit fornication with her. Now, fornication, in the spiritual sense, is to commit idolatry. But you'll find out that idolatry and fornication are closely related, because fornication was often the centerpiece of pagan rituals. I'm talking about orgies and other sexual acts as part of their religious practices. There were temple prostitutes, male temple prostitutes even, sodomites, and so forth. So she uses seduction. Okay, and in the back here, I don't know if you've seen this throughout all the slides, this is actually a carving in stone of Ishtar, who was the goddess of Babylon, of ancient Babylon. And no doubt she is the symbol of Mystery Babylon. All right, and because of her form, because the kings have committed fornication with her, the rest of the inhabitants of the earth are made drunk with the wine of that fornication. In other words, because our leaders are in bed with her, we are paying the price. You could think of it as what a lot of people consider, they use the term a lot, the elite of the world. The elite of the world are controlled by her. Babylon, we're going to find out that Babylon is a whore and Satan is pimping her out. Okay, he's using her for a purpose. Okay, you know, what you see in the world today is not, we see the moral depravity in America and we think, oh, we're just slipping. It's just a natural progression. No, it's not. This is planned. This is a system of harlotry, a whole system designed to entrap you, to entrap mankind. And it's important to understand that so that you can defend yourself against it. She is a murderer. As we find out in Revelation 17, verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great, it shouldn't be admiration, he didn't admire her. He wondered with great wonder or astonishment. You see, not only are the inhabitants of the earth drunk because of this fornication, but she is drunk as well. She's not drunk by the wine. She is drunken with the blood of the saints. She's intoxicated with it. It's what gets her pleasure. if I want to say this in a cruder way, it's what gets her off. She loves and has almost a sensual desire to persecute and to kill God's people. That is wickedness. And there is one woman in history that I could think of that sort of played out this role, and that was Jezebel. That was Jezebel, who killed the prophets of God. She is not only harlot herself, but she is the mother of harlots. In other words, she gives birth to daughters who are harlots as well. So what does that mean? Let me read the verse first. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Meaning she's responsible for all the wickedness that you see on earth today. And her daughters mimic her. Now think of this in terms of, we're going to document that Mystery Babylon is ultimately a city. Think of it as Mystery Babylon as the capital of the world. Capital city of the world. And the daughter cities as being cities that are spread out all over the world that do her bidding. That use her as an example. I guess I could take this on a smaller scale. You look at the United States. And let's just take New York City. Long ago, what was it, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s? New York City became known as the great city that everybody wanted to be like. So all these other cities that sprung up copied the different fashions, the different worldliness of New York City. And they repeated her harlotries. Mystery Babylon is the world and world economic and political center of the world. Revelation verse 18, verse 3 says this, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." All right, so the merchants like this woman. She's making them rich. And the kings like her as well, because they're getting pleasure. They're getting power. She's a kingmaker. She promises the kings of the world, hey, if you jump in the sack with me. Now, we're going to take this on a spiritual level. We'll be explaining these things in more detail. I'm giving you an overview. That if you jump in the sack with me, I will give you great power and prestige. And you wonder why it seems that we have such wicked leaders today. Because it's very hard for a leader to gain position in the world today without jumping in the sack with Mystery Babylon. In other words, without conforming to her ways, her idolatrous ways, her sinister ways. She, Mystery Babylon, is a means to an end. What do I mean by that? Well, let's read this verse. Revelation 17, verse 16. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." Now, what's going on here? Why would Satan's 10 kings here that he uses to control the earth in the future in the New World Order, why would they hate this whore? Why would they treat her this way? Well, we're going to talk about that in her upcoming studies. And it's because she is only a means to an end. At this time, she is only being used to deceive the minds of mankind, so that when the Antichrist comes, they will be primed to worship him. And she will be out of the picture. She will be done with. And the ten kings, they don't need her anymore. I mean, they can, and it's interesting here, it says they actually eat her flesh. That's cannibalism. They consume her. Now that sounds pretty wicked. That's the picture God's trying to draw here. They kill, I mean, just picture if somebody did this today. They took a harlot off the street. They stripped her naked and desolate and started eating her flesh. And then burn her with fire. That's the worth of a whore. You think about that, you know, maybe some of you younger females out there, you think about men that would want to just take advantage of you instead of waiting till you get married to perform that act of sexual intercourse. Many times, the man is only looking at her for one thing, and that is how she can pleasure him. And that is sort of the ways of the world today as well. People are just looking for pleasure, sensuality, over dignity and spiritual truth. So she is used simply to take your mind away from Almighty God. Mystery Babylon is the antithesis of the Bride of Christ. And she is also not only the Bride of Christ as the people, she is also the antithesis of New Jerusalem that ascends from heaven. And so this is really kind of the tale of two cities. You know, the evil godless people of this world, they love Mystery Babylon. Babylon is their desire. It is their dream. While, we don't have it up here, but we'll be getting into that in our future studies, while New Jerusalem is the desire of God's people, that holy city, that clean city, that modest city, that pure and holy city, New Jerusalem, made with God's hands and not the hands of men. Not filled with idols, not filled with fornication, not filled with nothing but filthy, perverted forms of sexual desires. Mystery Babylon is the source of all the pagan mystery religions of old time, whether you're talking about Egypt, Assyria, Rome, Greece, Persia. Forgot to mention that the Persian, Medes and the Persians. Whatever empire it was that had all these mystery religions, it all came from ancient Babylon. From ancient Babylon. This was the fountainhead of all idolatry and all rebellion against Almighty God. In fact, we're going to get into it in a future study here about the Tower of Babel. It was the first really kind of after the flood of Noah was the first attempt of man to build a new world order in rebellion to Almighty God. That's where it all came from. One source, the mother of harlots, okay? Secret societies are a part of those mystery religions. Many of you have heard of the Illuminati, Freemasonry, the Bilderberg Group, Skull and Bones, Trilateral Commission, and every other form of occultism, witchcraft, New Age. It's all part of her. It all comes from her. Mystery Babylon. She is full of pride. In 18 verse 7, it says how much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen. No, she's saying this in her heart. She's not saying it out loud. She thinks it. She thinks, I am a queen. I am no widow. And I shall see no sorrow. In other words, I am indestructible. I have power. You know, pride was the downfall of Satan. And pride, you even see movements today called gay pride. I don't even like to use the word gay for them because gay was a word that meant happy. Homosexual pride would be more accurate. You see how the enemy redefines words. You see how they redefine words to play tricks on your mind. That's part of mind control. Little trickeries like that. All right. She personifies, if we were to boil this all down, Mystery Babylon personifies the ways of the world. As 1 John 2 verse 16 explains pretty well here. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I mean, that just really seals up Mystery Babylon in a nutshell. But are we to leave it at that and just say, well, Mystery Babylon's a symbol of the world? Well, not if we're going to understand prophecy. And not if we want to understand her methods to the point where when we see them, we know what they are, and we can protect ourselves. That's why I believe God has this in His Word. He wants His servants to know what Mystery Babylon is doing and how she operates so that we be not deceived as well. All right, so Mystery Babylon. Yes, it's undeniable. She can give pleasure. But it's pleasure only for a season. You know, you think about it. If a man commits adultery or a woman commits adultery, do they have pleasure? Of course they do. That's why they're committing the adultery. Because it's giving them sexual pleasure, sensual pleasure. It's gratifying their senses. But then after the act is committed, that pleasure is over. And think about it in this sense. Think about it when that spouse finds out. And if they have a family and children and things like that. That short moment of pleasure just destroyed their life, as well as the lives of their entire family, or has harmed them a great deal. So you think about that when you're looking at Mystery Babylon, and you might think, oh, it might be easier just to join the ways of the world, just to go along and get by. Think about it for a second. Yeah, it might make people like you. It might give you pleasure in this world. But it's only for a season, my friend. And the hangover, if you want to call it that, is going to be very painful. Very painful for whoever sleeps with and become intoxicated with Mystery Babylon. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, my friends. I believe there's even a scripture that says, in sin, yes, there is pleasure for a season. All right. Here's some scriptures that warn us in the book of Proverbs that warn us against. Fornication for the married man, as well as, on the deeper sense, committing spiritual fornication with Mystery Babylon herself. He says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Deception, my friends, is sweet. It's as sweet as honey, and it's soft like oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. And I'm having a little slow time getting my verses up here. Here we go. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. So that was the analogy I was given before. Hey, you can sleep with her and you can have pleasure. But in the end, it's going to be bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword, striking your very soul. And not only that, but her feet bring you down to death. And ultimately, to hell. And if it gets even worse, all the way down to the lake of fire itself. All right. So anyways, like I said in the beginning, we're going to kind of look at two different views. Primarily, that Mystery Babylon represents when it comes down to the city and not just the system, because ultimately this ends up in a city, that it'll either be Babylon rebuilt, which seems very far-fetched at this time. But we have to keep into account that Zechariah prophecy that we'll probably get into more and take this as a real possibility. Or that if the end were to happen tomorrow, it sure seems that New York City fits the description. I mean, that's the world headquarters of political, economic, and even many of the New Age movements that are bringing forth the teachings of the Antichrist and other various forms of spiritualism and philosophy or theosophical societies. You name it. I mean, New York City is the snake den of the world at this time. There are a lot of other bad cities, but none that quite fit what fit the bill like New York City does today. Anyway, so we're going to look at those two and look at all the different facts, and maybe we'll come to a conclusion or we'll leave it open and see what happens. But I hope you enjoyed that study, this little introduction. Do like what Christ says in Matthew chapter 4 when he was tempted of the devil. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So see that you study it. See that you digest it. Meditate upon it every single day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible sword. His truth is marching.